everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on Flaunt Performance Podcast, the podcast for the voluptuous runner. And I am your host, Aja Yasir. And that intro music was from DJ Stack Chip. Boy, do I have a good show for you today. I have Jill Angie on the line. And if you have not heard of Jill Angie, I guarantee you, you will, because she's everywhere. But she's here today at Flaunt Performance. And we're going to be talking about some things that I haven't heard her talk about on other shows before. She is the author of Running with Curves, Not Your Average 5K, and Not Your Average Half Marathon. And she's also a running coach specializing in plus size runners. We're going to be talking about closet running. Are you a closet runner? What is that? We'll be talking about that in a few minutes. Battling your inner mean girl. Do you have a mean girl? Are you a mean girl? And we're also going to be talking about how to get out there and enter your first race, even if you are not competitive. So go ahead and listen to this wonderful interview I did with Jill Angie. Good morning. Well, hi. We don't know if it's morning or afternoon or evening where people are. How are you, Jill?
I am so great, Aja. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
Me too. Your story is very fascinating. We're going to be talking about your story as we go on, but how did you become a runner?
It's so long ago now that it's hard to even remember, but I decided I needed to lose weight. And so I just thought running was going to be the best way to burn calories. And this was in like the late 90s when nobody was running, like big girls were not running in the late 90s. It just was not done. There was not running clothes in our size or anything. So I started to lose weight. I didn't tell anybody about it. I wore these big baggy clothes and that's kind of how it started. It was very inauspicious.
Jill, you just said something very interesting. When did big girls start running?
You know, it's really funny because I guess they probably have been running all along, but they never talked about it to each other. So, but I think maybe like in the early 2000s is when it started to become a much more popular activity for people of all shapes and sizes. So I would say like the past 10 years, I've seen a huge explosion in the amount of people of non-typical running size start running and like be out there in public and just really like showing up for races and half marathons and full marathons. And so yeah, I think maybe the last 10 years it's been really popular.
What made you have the confidence to get out there when other people were out? Nobody was out there who looked like you during that time.
That's a great question. So I think when I first started running, and like I said, I would, I would just hide my body. I did it at night so that people couldn't see me in my neighborhood, which is really funny because apparently they could all see me. They were just like, they would come up to me later and say, "Oh, I saw you out there running, you know, keep up the good work." But I think running and like realizing that I could actually do it gave me confidence that I didn't necessarily have when I started, but I just like it built my confidence. And I joined my first 5K, I'll never forget it. So I used to live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and I'd never really heard of something called a 5K, but it was 1998 and the company that I worked for was a sponsor and they were trying to get everybody that worked there to do this thing. And I thought, all right, well, I've been running in the dark around my block. Like maybe this is something I could do. So I kind of had no idea what to expect. I just sort of showed up at the start line and I looked around and I'm like, oh crap, I don't look like anybody else here. But by that point in time, I was there with my best friend and her 6-year-old son, and he was so excited that I was going to do the race. And so I was just like, all right, I just guess I got to do this. And I came in almost dead last, but my little 6-year-old buddy like crossed the finish line with me. And Yeah, I think that was, I was like, oh, wait a minute, like, I might be bigger than these people, but I just did the same thing that they did. So that was sort of a light bulb moment for me. But I think if I had known what to expect, I might not have shown up at the start line at all. So I just sort of accidentally fell into the racing thing.
Wow. So what made you think that there were going to be other larger people out there? Because when I did my first half marathon, which was just this year, I didn't think there were going to be any heavy people out there at all. But you went in thinking that there were going to be larger people out there. What made you think that?
Well, actually, I don't think I really thought about it. It's kind of weird. I guess I didn't know what it was going to be. I guess I didn't kind of understand the concept that it was going to be timed. And I think I just thought it was going to be more a bunch of people getting out there and doing this charity walk run kind of thing. And that's so not what it was. But it didn't even occur to me that there would be nobody else of my size. I know it sounds so strange because I probably weighed about 200 pounds. So it wasn't like I was, oh, I just need 10 pounds, you know, to lose. Like, I was pretty heavy, and it literally just didn't cross my mind, which is kind of funny, like, thinking back on it, like, why didn't it cross my mind? But I think that was it. But nowadays, yeah, that's like with my clients, that's one of the first questions they ask me is, I'm going to be the only fat person there. And I'm like, oh, no, no. That is not true. So I like, it's my job to reassure them and make sure that they know that they're going to be, you know, well represented.
Okay. Describe the moment that you decided to take your health into your own hands.
So I'm not sure if there was one specific moment, but what there was were a lot of small changes that sort of added up to a really big change when I looked back. But I would say maybe there was a year when I decided I needed to, and that year was like little tiny change after change. And it was in 2009. So I'd actually been running on and off for about a little over 10 years at that point in time, but I was still continuing to gain weight and I had a lot of job stress. And I signed up to do the breast cancer 3-day walk with a girlfriend of mine. And so for most people know what it is, but it's basically you're walking 60 miles over 3 days and you're camping at night. And I weighed almost 300 pounds and I had no business signing up for that race, or I thought I had no business signing up for it. And it wasn't a race, but I decided that it was going to be my moment to really take care of my health. So I hired a personal trainer. And I was like, I'm going to lose all this weight. I'm going to do all this walking. And, you know, I secretly thought maybe I would run part of it, which is totally not allowed. But I'm like, you know, oh, I can do this. And so I trained and trained and trained. I lost maybe 10 pounds. It was terrible. But what I gained from working with the personal trainer, and she also got me started on yoga, was this like really amazing connection with my body and like a just sort of a rebirth of my soul is the only way I can put it, that I just started to feel so good about myself and I stopped caring what my body looked like. And I started being more concerned about, you know, the kind of person that I was and like, how can I help others experience this? Like, it really was like a rebirth. Like I think I had just turned 42 at the time too. So I was also like, well, you know, like coming into midlife and we do a lot of evaluation of ourselves. So I think it was more of a specific year. So it was 2009. I know that was a long answer.
No, that was great. Had you ever had a connection with your body prior to that moment?
Yeah, not really. I hadn't. My body was something that I was always trying to deal with or overcome. It always seemed like an obstacle. And I think that was the year that I decided to say, hey, this is the body I have and I can either love it or I can hate it. But if I choose to love it, my life will probably be a lot easier. So I was like, all right, I'm all in. Let's just do this. And so I just kind of dropped the hate at that point in time because it was not serving me at all. It was not getting me forward.
Did you drop it immediately or did it take time?
It totally took time. I think yoga really helped because yoga is great about like getting you in touch with your breath and your body. And it's very much of a, the one thing that my yoga teacher always taught me was it's not a competition. Like there's no comparison and you're not even in competition with yourself. Like when you do yoga, you're just there in the moment and where you're at, however far you can go into a pose or how your body feels, it's just that specific moment. And so there's no looking backwards to, oh, you know, I wish I was where I used to be a year ago, or I wish my body was smaller, or anything like that. It's just very much accepting yourself as you are in the moment. And so that was really powerful. It probably took a few months of doing yoga, but like one day I kind of realized, like, oh, I don't have those same ugly thoughts about myself that I used to have. So that was really, really powerful.
You mentioned competition and being competitive. Are you naturally competitive? Because, so I mean, funny. Jill, you entered a race and you hadn't been running for a long time. It seems like you started off just entering races.
I know. It's so funny because if you talk to any of my friends, they will tell you I'm pretty much the least competitive person on the planet. Like, I literally could care less if I come in first or last. I am just always overjoyed to be out there having fun. The real reason I enter races is just to add a little variety in my training schedule, give myself a little bit of structure, like something to shoot for. And frankly, I love just having somebody else kind of clear the roads for me and hand me water and a medal when I finish, because I feel like a princess. I love having people cheer my name as I run by them. So that's kind of the real reason I do it. Like, I am not competitive at all. I just like to have fun.
So people who are not competitive can enter races and run for medals.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Why do you keep going?
Why do I keep going as a runner, you mean?
Yes. What's an emotional reason why you keep going?
So I guess there's a few. So first of all, the clients that I work with right now are one of my biggest motivations, because I work with women that have been where I used to be, and, you know, working on their confidence and their thoughts about their body and how they feel, when they're running. And they're all like so amazing, and they really inspire me every single day to be my very best self. So that's a huge motivator. But I'm also motivated by wanting to live a very long, productive life. And I know that is so much more likely to happen if I really take care of my body and my mind and my spirit. And running takes care of all three of those things.
How does it take care of your spirit?
It's so cathartic. Like, I, at least once a week, I run in the woods, and I just feel like, it just sounds kind of like woo-woo, but like, I feel even more connected to myself when I'm by myself in the woods. And like, I just feel, I can't even put words to it, but like, it refills my spirit. It just gives me this amazing sense of joy. Like, I'm pretty sure you get more endorphins when you're in the woods.
Yeah.
But like any kind of run, it feels like somebody's refilling me. That's what it feels like.
Running in the woods feels so adventurous. I don't know. I can't describe it. It does feel really good. But what are some safety precautions that you do before running out in the woods?
Oh, that's a great question. So first of all, I have two trails in the woods that I pretty much are the only time I will go if I'm going by myself. And I've already scouted them out with, you know, friends ahead of time to make sure that, you know, I'm not like wandering around alone in the woods when I'm first figuring out what the trails are like. But before I go, I certainly tell somebody where I'm going, when I'm expected to come back. And then I only run, if I'm in the woods, like I will run with headphones, but I'll put one in and one out, because, you know, it's, when I'm doing trail running, I'm less concerned about other people than I am about like wild animals. So there's this one trail I run on, and I was just having the best run, and I came around a blind corner, and there was this huge like 10-point buck just standing in the middle,
no.
staring at me. And I came to a screeching halt, and he just sort of looked at me, and like, I didn't know what to expect, because I don't think of deer as being aggressive animals, but he had a lot of pointy things on his head. So we kind of, like, if I had not been paying attention, like, I probably would have run smack into him. But, and then, oh gosh, one of my clients was telling me that there's mountain lions on her trail.
Oh my goodness.
Like, good grief. Like, heck no, I'm not down for that. There's not a lot of mountain lions in southeastern Pennsylvania. But from a safety perspective, I would say always keep your wits about you. Make sure, like, one headphone, like, keep one earbud out just so you can hear what's going on around you. I always keep a first aid kit in my car too. So if I do like happen to fall and like rip up my hands or something like that, then I can, you know, when I get back to the car, I can always like do a little first aid and then tell somebody where you're going for sure. Like, I think there is GPS tracking apps, so you can actually have somebody follow your phone. Like, you can email somebody like, okay, this is where I'm going to be, and turn the app on. And so they'll actually be able to see exactly where you are at any point in time. So those are, I think, really important safety. And if you can run with somebody else, that's always super awesome.
What did you do when you saw that buck? Did you turn around the other way?
I just stood there. And then I was like, oh my God, I have to take a picture. I'm like really slowly trying to get my phone out, and like I almost got it, and then he ran away. He totally ran away. But it was like, it was a moment. That's funny. I mean, we were like 10 feet apart. I'm like, what? He was very large.
Now, what made you realize that you didn't have to be skinny to be a runner when you first started before your race and you were out there running at night?
I mean, I guess because I was running and I wasn't skinny, I guess I knew intuitively, but I still didn't tell anybody that I was a runner. Like, I kept it this big secret, which everybody knew, which was so funny. Because I, you know, like people in my neighborhood would be like, oh, I saw you out running or what. And I just still thought it was some kind of a secret. So it's like, yeah, I guess I knew it was okay to be a runner because I wasn't skinny and I was running. But then after I did my first 5K, I was kind of like, well, I may not look like the rest of those people, but I still finished the race. So I think the first 5K was probably, it sort of outed me, and it let me, you know, I'd wear the race t-shirt and people would be like, oh, you did that? I'm like, yeah, I did. Never. That was me.
That's cool.
I still have the mug. It's 20 years later.
That's phenomenal though. Did you feel intimidated at all when you first started?
I felt intimidated thinking about people like laughing at me and maybe saying like, who do you think you are? I can't even remember if there were any running stores, at least in my neighborhood, there weren't any. So I didn't feel intimidated about that. But I think what intimidated me a lot was because it was hard. I was like, I don't know. Like, I did running and then walking and then running and then walking. And like, I didn't know that that was a legitimate way to run a race. So I thought like the fact that I had to take walk breaks was this terrible, embarrassing thing. And then lo and behold, it's actually not. It's actually a really good thing. So, So I think I was just intimidated because it felt really, really hard. And I just was embarrassed for people to make fun of me, which nobody did. But, you know,
even though you are embarrassed for people to make fun of you, you seem like you have a lot of confidence right now. But it also seems like you had a lot of confidence back then. Am I right?
Yeah. And I think it was a different kind of confidence. Like back then it was more like, go ahead, like take your best shot. And now it's more of just like, I know exactly what I'm doing and I'm really confident. But back then I was more like, I was always waiting for somebody to like make a comment. And now I'm just like, you can make whatever comment you want. And I, you know, it's like telling me I have blue hair. I know I don't have blue hair. So what you say can't hurt me.
You're a coach now, a running coach. What made you take that step?
About 5 years ago, I realized, so I was working at a corporate job and I just was not in love with my job. And I thought, what do I want to spend the next 20 to 30 years of my working life doing something that I don't love, or do I want to do something that I love? So of course I picked the latter and I decided I wanted to become a personal trainer. So I was really influenced by the personal trainer that I had worked with. And I thought, I want to help other women feel good about their bodies without having to feel like they need to lose weight. So I started becoming a personal trainer. I did that for probably 2 or 3 years. And then I wrote this book called Running with Curves. And And it was basically like how you can be a runner and have curves and that the two are not mutually exclusive. And after I wrote that book, that came out in November of 2013, like people were reading it and they were emailing me saying, oh, you have to help me. How can I do what you do? And I'm like, wait a minute, I should become a coach. So I got certified as a running coach and then the rest is sort of history.
What made you write your book?
I kind of felt like I needed to tell people about this thing that they could run and not have to be skinny. And so I've always been somebody who likes to write. I blogged for years and, I don't know. I just sort of thought, hey, this might be fun. As with most things in my life that turn out to be like amazing and monumental later on, they usually start with a moment of like, hey, this might be fun. So the book was just one of those things. I had no idea what was going to come out of the book. I just thought I would write this book and a few people would start running because of it. And that was all I really expected. I had no idea how huge it was going to get.
Well, a lot of that book is everywhere and you are absolutely everywhere. And I was listening to one of your podcast interviews and you mentioned that cross training is important because you're plus size. Why is that?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's super important for everyone, especially runners, because running is such a repetitive motion sport. But I think when you're plus size, it's extra important because carrying extra weight when you run can put extra stress on your body. I mean, it's just gravity and physics, right? So it doesn't mean you shouldn't be a runner. It just means that strength training to make sure your running muscles are very strong and flexible is critical to helping you avoid injuries.
What kind of strength training should we be doing?
So I usually suggest to people, like, to start out basics, walking lunges are amazing because they put your body through the range of motion of running while you're, while you're actually strength training. So anything that's a body weight strength training is really, really good. So walking lunges, squats, plank is great because it really builds up your core, which is also, people think that your upper body doesn't matter when you're running, but if your core is not strong, your upper body is going to like hunch forward. And what happens then is it puts stress on your low back and it throws off your gait. And then you start having hip and knee problems and it's all because your upper body is weak. So, anything that works the glutes, especially the gluteus medius, which is more like kind of the side of your butt. So if you can do leg raises out to the side while you're standing, helps you work on balance and it helps you work on gluteus strength as well. So those are some great starters. Calf raises are great. But I would say if somebody is interested in, you know, doing some strength training to help them with running, I would just start out with like squats and walking lunges and plank, just those three.
You stated that you often have to battle with your inner mean girl when you're running.
Yeah. She is such a B.I. you know what. oh my gosh. So it's funny because, so I call her Winona because she whines a lot. So she used to say to me all the time, like, oh, you'll never be a real runner. And then I kind of did that. And then she sort of moved on to, oh, you'll never be a successful personal trainer. And then I kind of did that. And then she started on like, you'll be a terrible running coach. And I feel like I've proved her wrong again. So what I've come to understand is really like her voice is just my fear talking. And that's okay. Like fear is kind of a normal part of life. And I kind of feel like if I'm not a little bit of afraid of something, like it's probably not even worth doing. So now when I hear the voice, I just kind of say back, watch me. Which is very powerful.
So she's like your coach, almost, maybe?
A little bit. She's my inner Jillian Michaels, which is not fun. Now, I love Jillian Michaels and all that, but she yells a lot, and my inner mean girl yells a lot.
What's the worst thing she's ever said to you?
The worst thing she's ever said? I mean, I just think any version of you're too fat to run is probably... That breaks my heart because I hear there's so many women have the same mean girl voice inside them. And I think for me, it didn't stop me, but it stops other women. And so I think that's the worst thing you can say to somebody, whether it's to yourself or to somebody else, is something that like stops them from doing what they really want to do. So that's it.
Now, you have clients who've probably said that. What do you say to them when they say, I'm too fat to run?
I usually show them a picture of myself crossing the finish line at a triathlon. Wow. And then they're like, oh, really? Okay.
When your inner mean girl says that you're too fat to run, how do you respond?
I just say, watch me. Watch me do it.
Oh, you just told me that. Okay, I'll edit that out.
I mean, I don't even tolerate it anymore. And I used to argue with her a lot. I'd be like, no, I can do it, really. And now I'm just like, stop it. Just, that's enough. Like, she's like a toddler. I'm like, just sit down and go to sleep.
You were bullied as a child. How has that impacted your running?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So I was bullied. It was mostly like middle school and high school. And I kind of spent my 20s and my early 30s sort of always expecting people to make fun of me behind my back. And what that did for me was like it created these feelings of exclusion amongst like totally imaginary. But I was always thinking like, you know, other people don't approve of me and like all the terrible things like you kind of. You know, those were some pretty formative years for me. And those feelings of what it's like to be bullied when you're 14 and 15 years old, like, stuck with me all the way through college and right up into my 30s. But I think it's not so much how that impacted my running, but how running impacted those feelings. So the more I started running, the more I ran and the more confident I got, the more I began to see that, like, the bullying that happened, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, had nothing to do with the person that I was now. And so running kind of healed me from that, I think, because it taught me that, you know, that it doesn't matter what other people think. The only thing that really matters is what I think. And that was, I mean, it took many years to learn that lesson, but like I've got it now. And like, I feel like there's nothing I can't do now that I really understand that my opinion is the most important one in the world.
I read this study that women, overweight women, don't generally like to run past children. Like they don't want children to see them exercise outside. Have you ever felt that?
Yeah, totally. That's so funny you say that. And it's basically, I don't like to run past teenagers because it brings me right back to high school and I just assume that they're making fun of me. So I don't know about like with children, I have no idea like small children. I don't know if that's different, but like for me, for sure, if I run by a teenager, like I still hear those little the inner mean girl, like she has a lot to say about that too. I'm like, oh, those boys are making fun of you. And it's really kind of, it's crazy how quickly I can be like right back into ninth grade just by running past a pack of teenagers. And it's so funny because most of them are on their phones and don't even
Register that a grown-up is running you. They don't see great. You or anything else.
I know, but it really, it's a very primal response in me. But now I'm just like, oh, look at that. Look how funny that is. Like you're scared of the teenagers and I laugh it off. But like 10 years ago, I would like change where I ran because I didn't want to, you know, I thought I was opening myself up to harassment, which like, what? That's crazy. But you know, it was very, it was a journey to get past that for sure.
Describe the perfect body.
The perfect body has a beating heart and a big smile.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. How can people get in contact with you, Jill?
The best place, you can visit my website, which is www.notyouraveragerunner.com. And available there is, I call it a 6-week starter plan. And so it's basically like a free training plan to get you through your first 6 weeks as a runner. And what happens is, you know, if you sign up for that, then I'll send you like a few emails and, you know, tell you how to use the plan and how to get the most out of it and all that. So you can reach me there. You can also visit me on Facebook. Of course, I'm all over Facebook. And I actually have an awesome free running club on Facebook called the Not Your Average Runner Online Running Club. And there's actually like 4,000 women in that club right now. It's women only. And that's like been an amazing resource for a lot of people, because it's very powerful to be in a group of women that are similar to you and know that, like, even if they don't live right next door to you, the fact that they're around the world and they're doing the thing that you want to do is super powerful. So I would definitely recommend joining that Facebook group. And yeah, I mean, you can always just friend me on Facebook. I'm pretty friendly.
And they can find your book on Amazon, on your website, everywhere, right?
Yeah, I actually have 3 books out now.
Which books?
I know, it kind of blows my mind. So Running with Curves is the first one. And that's for beginning runners. And it kind of, it's a great book because it's all about like how to get started and like where to get running gear that fits your body and like what you need to think about and be concerned with if you're a plus size runner. Like, these are the things that you will not find in any other running book out there, especially not the ones that are, you know, put out by there by Runner's World, which is a great magazine, but they have no idea how to deal with somebody who's 50 pounds overweight and running. So Running with Curves is sort of like the place to start. And then I have 2 other books. One is called Not Your Average 5K, and that's a 5K training plan. And I say it's for couch to 5K dropouts, because a lot of times the couch to 5K plan is just too aggressive for new runners. So I've got a different approach, and it's in that book. And then I have Not Your Average Half Marathon, which again is another book for the plus size runner who wants to do her first or even her second or third half marathon. There's a great training plan in that.
Thank you so very, I'm sorry, did I interrupt you?
No, you did not.
Okay. Thank you so very much for joining me, Jill. This has been awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here. I hope you have a great afternoon and evening or wherever it is, whatever time it is where you are.
You too.